So when they say, do you have a drone? We need a drone shot. I'm like, yeah. So do you have a team who does copy? I'm like, yeah, I have a team. I said, yes. And I had 1 week to make all these things happen. Do you have a company? I said, yes.
So did you register the company afterwards? You formed a team and all.
Yep. Wow. You know, I get crazy sometimes.
Hi, David, and thanks a lot for making it today.
Thank you. I'm glad you invited me.
So today's topic is a very special one. Well, every topic is special, but today's topic is very dear to my heart because I think it applies to basically everyone that could possibly be listening to this podcast. We've all had dreams. We've all had expectations of what that journey is going to look like. And then we've had challenges along the way. And the difference is, you know, those challenges affect everyone in a unique way. For some people, it makes them give up. For some people, it propels them forward. And your story, I think, is very authentic. You know, having followed it for a while now, and I thought you'd be the best person or one of the best people that I know that could speak on this topic. So I think we could start off by hearing a little bit about you, who you are, what you do, or about how you came to desire to be a videographer, and then we start from there and then climb up to everything you are exactly doing now in the full sense, right? Like, what were your initial interests and how did you get to the point you are now?
So should I work from back to the beginning? Because
however you think is more comfortable for you. Let's just I think we could start from the beginning. That sort of helps us build more.
Okay, great, no worries. But first of all, I'm not in videographer no more.
Okay, got it, sorry.
that title just aches me. If you can see my facial expression when you said that.
I saw that, okay.
But yeah, no worries. I mean, I started off as a videographer, for sure. All right, so my name is David Ebuka Akojobi, Nigeria. My story is quite very, very unique and authentic, like you already said, and sometimes it's hard for me to even believe that I'm actually living this life. And what do I mean by that? In terms of certain things that I've experienced, all right? I can't really explain it to people because sometimes you're going through so much in pursuit of a dream or a vision and things happen along the way that I'm like, never did I see this happening. So basically, I traveled to Russia on scholarship. Federal scholarship from Nigeria to pursue what they usually say to pursue the American dreams in Russia. But we already know that America is not in Russia, so for sure there's no American dreams in Russia. So I came to study geology of oil and gas. So getting into Russia, it was a little bit, not a little bit, for the beginning part, it was mostly challenging. First with the language, because I had to learn in the language. So during the course of learning the language and trying to get into the academic hustle, I discovered that it was boring. I know that's a good way to start my story. I discovered that academics for me was kind of boring. But I pretty learned the language very, very well. But I just kind of discovered, I mean, there's this thing in Russia as a foreigner, maybe even for the Russians themselves in school, they'd be like, oh, it's not for me. When you're not doing so well with your grades, it's like, nah, this is not for me. But for contrary, I was doing really great with my grades, like excellent. But for some reason, I didn't get a satisfaction from that stuff. And then that was how I started dabbling into different things, like teaching English. You know, at first it started off as a hustle to make money, but it kind of like grew. And then one day I was in church. They play these announcements. I don't know if you go to church, some churches play the announcement videos. So I was watching it. I saw this guy and this girl. This is a very actually true story. So I saw this guy and this girl, they're making the announcements. I'm like, huh, okay. I'd love to be in front of the whole church making the announcements. Maybe everybody will see me, get to know me. I'll become the popular kid on the block, you know.
Nice one.
That was the whole thing. I've never really told this story in public, but I saw that video. I'm like, okay, yeah, Then after the church service, the pastor was like, yeah, you know, that was the first time he was played in church. the pastor said, yeah, you guys should join up to our media team then. You know, they really did great. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to join up. So I did give the media leader a call. At that time, his name is Daniel. So I'm like, excuse me, Mr. Daniel, I would love to join the media team. Mind you, my reason for joining was just so I could make the announcements, be on the screen, be popular, be famous, you know? But he's like, yeah, sure, no problems. There is this concert tomorrow. You just show up and we'll discuss. I'm like, well, yeah, sure, definitely. I was really excited to be on my way to stardom, you know? So I got to the concert. He picked up his camera. He gave it to me. He said, David. I'm like, what's up? I'm going to the stage to play and I need you to record me. And I'm like, excuse me. I came for a different agenda. I'm not here to handle the camera. I'm supposed to be the star man. You know, but I was kind of too timid at that point to tell him, hey, I want to be the star guy, not the one behind the camera.
Yeah.
And this guy, Danny, was very assertive. He's like, yeah, just so I'm like, wait, how can I even turn on this camera? I've never handled a camera before. And he's like, if your life depended on turning on this camera right now, what would you do? And then he left and went straight to stage. I'm like, holy. Okay. I was looking around the camera, really. I was looking, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And he was already playing. And I'm like, I can't miss this moment on him, you know? But somehow, miraculously, I did figure out how to turn on the camera. And I quickly started taking pictures and video recordings and stuff. And it was like, hey, David, take a picture of me. Hey, David, take a picture of me. I'm like, okay, I guess I can be famous with this too, you know? And I did it. And after the event, I gave him the camera. And he's like, so did you figure it out? I'm like, yeah, I guess. He's like, cool. So when are you going to come to edit the videos? I'm like, never. Because I'm like, never. But he's like, okay, well, welcome to the team. And from that day onwards, he started putting me behind the camera for some weird reason. And I slowly started to enjoy it. And I forgot about the dreams of having to be in front of the camera.
So you never asked to be in front of the camera after then?
Yes, I didn't ask. I mean, you know, funny enough, I was behind the camera. I started recording videos for the announcement in church. So I grew to the level where I become so good that I cannot decide who I wanted to be in front of the camera. So I can decide if I wanted to be in front of the camera or not. But at that point, I guess I just got into the whole vibe of making the videos and not really being in front of the camera. And that's how I really fell in love with it. Because even as a kid, I really wanted to be like, I used to think I was going to end up in like the Nollywood kind of industry, you know? But it wasn't like that passion. It wasn't more of a passion. It's just like, you know, I guess every kid, well, I just wanted to be famous, if you want to. So I thought being in Nollywood would make me famous, but figuring out that I can handle a camera and be a director, well, give me another perspective. And that was how the whole journey started.
Okay, so where did you go from there? When you decided, okay, I really like this, then what was the picture you had in mind? You know, the end goal. Okay, I'm just going to keep doing this in church, or I'm going to take this out, do this somewhere else.
To be honest, I never thought about doing it somewhere else. Like, at the start, it was just all about, I actually enjoy doing this. I enjoy having to, like, the creative vision, having to think about something or a script or a story, putting it together and calling people together to, hey, guy, come, let's do this. And, you know, seeing it become a reality, that's what I really enjoyed about it. So I didn't really think about, okay, what am I going to do with it for the end of my life if I'm going to pursue this career? So it kind of came after I fell in love with what I was doing. So when I fell in love, yeah, I'm like, okay, I actually see myself doing this for a long time. Oh, no, scratch that. I would love to see myself doing this for the longest of time. Right? And I'm like, okay, so what do I have to do? Because I really enjoy doing this thing. So that's why it's like, you know, when you enjoy doing something, you know, you have to pursue it and everything. But for me, I fell in love with it. And then I asked myself, how can I do this for the longest of time? Because it gives me happiness. Because I love the way it makes me feel. Being on set and everything. And funny enough, at my beginning stages, I did a lot of freestyles. But I mean freestyles, not because I was hoping to get a portfolio to show potential clients and stuff. I was just doing it. And just by doing it, people started seeing what I was doing. They're like, hey, can you come shoot a wedding for me? Can you come? Oh, I have this idea. Can you come shoot it for me? I'm like, yeah, sure. I didn't really talk about money. And I'm going to put this out there. Even currently, there's something that I'm struggling with, which is actually valuing my skill and my knowledge. Now, I put it at a very high price, but I do know within me that I can actually value myself more. But the truth of the matter is that I am ready to jump on any free project as long as it interests me. You know? So, it's all about the interest. It's all about how it made me feel. And then I started, like I said, people started actually reaching out to me to say, hey, have you shot the wedding before? I'm like, and another thing, like, I have this thing for always saying yes to creative projects, even though I've never tried it before. But as long as I feel it's going to be interesting. So I'm working, hey, this is my friend. He's having his wedding next week, Saturday. Have you ever done a wedding before? We'll obviously make a wedding. I'm like, yeah, sure. I totally have. And they're like, oh, okay. So this is it. This is it. And I'll never remember the first wedding I did shoot. It was one of my friends. He's from Uzbekistan. I never knew that those people, their wedding is long. I started shooting from like, I went to the bride's house from like 7 a.m. and I finished 8 p.m. And I'm I was alone. I didn't have any apprentices. It was just me with two camera bags. I actually borrowed one from my church. Nobody knew about that, but hey. And then I did shoot the wedding and it came out great. And that was my first wedding. And I just believe that as long as it comes to creative things in terms of videos, I can do it. Just give me time to figure it out before it's time to deliver. I will get it done.
So basically, you have a knack for challenging yourself. Well, as long as you find it interesting.
Yes. Yes. So like I said, you know, with the whole video thing, when I started, it was interesting for me. So I told myself, how can I make it possible to keep doing this for a longer time, for the rest of my life, maybe? And then the whole dream started to formulate. I'm like, okay, I started looking at people like Tyler Perry. He's still one of my biggest, if not like my mentor that doesn't know that I exist. But, you know, I still look up to him. I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy actually built a whole film production thing with his skill, his talent, and he's a billionaire. And, of course, I know I've always wanted to be super, super rich. So I'm like, okay, if he did it, I can do it even better. And then that was when the whole visions now started to shape. I don't know if that makes sense. So,
yeah.
It's not
so
like,
at this point, what did the vision look like?
To be honest, I was gonna be a billionaire first of all. That was a top of the vision. I'll say I was gonna be a billionaire, and I was going to make establish a big production house for movies and different. Just at this point, you know, when I was, you know, starting, I was like, okay, I wanna be a billionaire and make a production house for movies. Mm-hmm. Because I was just looking at Tyler Perry. And I didn't really also explore other options that making videos could bring, like content creation for businesses and all this kind of stuff, which we'll get to later. But for me, it was like, okay, yeah, the creative side of just making movies. And I was like, yeah, I'll be in Hollywood. I started working towards it.
Okay. So there are some points in this journey that I wanted us to cover, and let's talk about maybe some of the challenges that you faced along the way. You were so you can just remind people again what exactly you were doing, what you were studying at this time. So because all of this was still while you were in school.
Yeah, definitely, totally.
Yeah.
So
you were doing a bachelor's.
Yes.
In geology. Well, yeah. Geology of oil and gas.
Yes.
And now when you were trying to merge this dream with what you were doing, how did that work out for you? How did you manage that?
Very good question. And to be honest, I don't know if I can say this because it might probably be a bad advice.
No, I want to know how you managed it. Yeah, then we'll talk about what constitutes good or bad advice later.
Okay. So I thought, like, the Daniel guy that, you know, was running the media when I joined him, we talked a lot. You know, when I came up with the vision, he was a major part of, you know, forming my vision before I took it around with it, you know. So he told me one thing, and that's what I was saying. He said, you can't really have 100% in everything you do. So you just have to choose one, give it 100. And the rest can, well, maybe 90, you know, 60, 70, but you can't have 100, 100, 100. Even if at the end of the day, if there's a scorecard and there, you have 100 in all of them, there is one that you probably have 100 at what? So the size, so for me, it was, he said, you either have to decide, do you want to have 100 in your academics and then maybe 70 in the whole dream vision that you want to do, or the other way around? And then that was when I was like, okay, I actually don't see myself doing this geology thing for the rest of my life. It's not something that gives me joy. I just know it because I'm intelligent, but that's just all about it. It doesn't excite me. It doesn't intrigue me. I mean, I know there are people that it does, like that really loves it, but it didn't do it for me. So I was not really struggling to balance both, to be honest, because it was an easy choice for me. I said, anytime I got an opportunity that has to do with creation, creating videos or scripts or ideas that has to do with the creative industry, it was an easy pick for me. So the only time I was like going to consider academics is if I had like maybe an exam or let's say a test, which to be honest, a test were not really that important for me. It was just the exams. I just wanted to cover up my exams and get it done. Because another thing he told me, he said, David, you're in Russia for academics, which is great. If you come out to the first class, nobody will be surprised because you're a scholarship student. That's what really everybody expects. But what else are you going to add to that to now make it a huge success factor, you know? So I made a friend. His name is Kim, my best friend. He's into photography too. We just kind of started supporting each other in skipping classes, if you know what I mean.
Wow, okay.
But we did, to be honest, we did make up for the classes. It's not like, oh, we just skipped classes and never came back and then, no. We knew that we're going to skip this class, but we know that at some point you have to go talk to the teacher, tell the teacher one or two story. They'll give you another opportunity. Then when I know I don't have any engagement, creative engagement, I cannot focus on school. But yeah, I just had to choose one and I chose the vision.
Yeah, I see. And it seems like mentorship really played a big role in helping you navigate your journey. It seems like that. What would you say did it? And who were the, if mentorship did play a role, who were the top people you looked up to?
To be honest, mentorship did play, not just a small part, like a huge is an understatement. Because I was young, I was navigating life. There were so many things that I found interesting, to be honest. But for some reason, the vision formed around content creation, right? And sometimes being so young, you can be very, very impulsive, which is not really, it's not really a bad thing. But if you do not take into account so many other factors that you might not see because of inexperience, you would actually fail. And that's why mentorship is really, I had, like I said, Daniel is a major part of my story. He literally pushed me even when I was like lazying about. He wasn't the best person to sugarcoat words. He always said it like as plain and maybe as hurtful as it can get, but it does get the job done. And that was how I was mentored. I had another, my pastor then, Pastor Williams. He was more, not really about the creative side of things, but he was more into forming myself as a better human. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in terms of religion, but like as a better human so that I can achieve my dreams or push my vision or do it the right way, you know? Yeah. And then there is this other guy, we don't really talk. We talked at some point. It was a really huge part of my life. It's Michael America. He's a Ghanaian. He was my senior when I was doing my bachelor's, probably doing his master's or something. I met him through Daniel. He's a very good photography genius. And so many times I went to his house to just discuss things to do, like creative ideas, my ambitions, even to learn from him. Oh, hey, no jokes. I slept on people's couches just because I wanted to learn. I can remember I went to America. He lives in Moscow as of then. I was in Kazan, so I would travel by train to Moscow, stay by his house on his couch for like a week or so, just learning, maybe going around meeting some other creative people. Another person was Daniel Saba. He was more of a silent mentor for me. He didn't really say, hey, let's do this, let's do this. But I observed him. He opened his arms to let me learn from him. So I was shadowing him in his works. And, you know, sometimes, yeah, he delegates things for me. So for when it comes to video, to be specific, videography, I learned from David. He's a Ghanaian too. So I was like, hey, are you, he's like, yeah, I'm in Moscow, come in. I come. He was still on the bed. I'll just put a blanket on the floor and I'll just sleep there. The next day we'll go for an event. And I loved it. I wasn't even seeing it as, it wasn't suffering for me or anything. I just loved the opportunity to be doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So those, okay. And we had books. I mean, like I said, Tyler Perry was, I mean, he doesn't know I exist, but I believe you can also have mentors who are, I call them virtual mentors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Perry and Miles Monroe, because Miles Monroe, of the blessed memory, he wrote a lot of vision-related books. So I really enjoy reading those. So, yeah.
So, if you could give an advice to your younger self going through that phase, I guess, you know, you've done a lot of things pretty well, but then there are also some things that if you could turn back time, you might do differently. So maybe for someone who is in that situation, what advice would you give, assuming that's your younger self?
Let me clarify something. What situation? Because I was in different situations chasing my dreams, to be specific. So which one exactly are you talking about?
That's true. So let's talk about this phase you were, this learning phase you were at, you know, when you're like, just, you know, you have different mentors and you're trying to work on this vision, but you're still learning. I mean, you're still learning now, but I mean, just the point we're talking about
at
right
start
now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. To be honest, some things I didn't really consider doing it at that point. My younger person is, be humble. It's hard to be humble when you're learning. Let me not lie to you, because sometimes even the people who are teaching you can get on your nerves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier for us to be like, you know what, I'm going to do it on my own. You see how, truth of the matter, right? The way I'm talking to you now, I'm telling you about Dan and that Mr. Daniel, the way he helped me, we had a lot of fights. You can't even imagine it. Like, at some point, I'm like, is he trying to stop me from flying?
He's trying to stop my shine.
Excuse me. Yeah. Like, what? Like, what's up? Like, it kind of, like, there were some hurtful moments, and sometimes he said some hurtful things. But at the end of the day, when I look back, I'm like, okay, those days were kind of necessary. Maybe not the way he did it, but it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I could have reacted better. And if not that, me being the kind of person I am, I wouldn't say that it was humility that helped me get through it. I'm just this kind of person that if someone offends me, just give me like 2 days or three, I'm just get over it, we're back to normal. You know, so it wasn't really humility, it's just who I was. And I didn't, I don't disrespect my elders, naturally. So, and just these people are way older than I was. So being respectful and just being me naturally helped me navigate it. So if I was going to talk to a younger version of me, especially in this generation where we are right now, where everybody's thrown to like, oh, I can make it on my own and everything, just be humble. It might be hurtful at times, but just be humble. And I really wish I was even more than I was as I then. That is one, being humble. Humility is key. Like, humility will take you places. I can't overemphasize it. I've even at this my age, I've met people who are way older than I am, and I admire the humility. I'm like, how can this man be this at this age, have this so much, and he just relates like, I don't know, I can't even explain it. So humility plays a major role. And then aside from that, personally, I would tell young David, hey, relax. You could do all right, last.
Yeah.
Because it's hard not to worry. And this is, should I say, after the learning phase, I moved into a next stage, which I would just call it the worrying stage. So many moving parts. Okay. I've finished learning. I have this skill. I have that skill. I know this person. I know that person. This person knows me. But what exactly do I have to show for it? And by what do I have to show for it? For maybe for some people, they measure it in terms of money. But for me, it was not just money. Like financial gain, it was more about the things I was creating, the level at which I was doing it, the people, the people that I was meeting. What do I have to show for it? I am so talented, no shit. But sitting at home and not using it, and not it's not giving me any financial gain. It's just like, okay, if I actually have had to skip school for this to, you know, get it to the level where it was, it has to give. It has to give. But at that point, my vision was myopic. I couldn't really see past three steps ahead of me. Because when your vision is now tied to your finances, where you're like, how can I be okay and still chase my dreams? Because I feel like a lot of people make this mistake, especially a lot of young people who want to be musicians. You know, they want to sing, but the bills don't pay themselves. So yeah. Somehow you either have to make that singing pay the bills or do something to support the singing to pay those bills. And when those two are not matching, it can cause frustration. And it did cause frustration for me. Because even sometimes, or most of the times when I get paid, I invested back into the vision, like buying the new equipment or learning a course or something. It was just all about moving parts. And because there's a lot of moving parts, so many things felt out of my control. And then I started to worry. How is this going to pan out in the next 3 years? How is this going to pan out even next year? Because I graduated with my bachelor's, and then I'm like, okay, what's next? How is this vision going to grow? There was so many things that I was worrying about. And sometimes I think I still have this tendency of worrying a lot. I'm working on it. But I would tell the younger version of me, hey, don't worry. Everything will be fine. True story, I have a video on my Google Drive. I recorded it when I was 22 years old. I'm 27 now. That was the first time I moved out of the school hostel. I was still in university. And in that video, I told myself the things I want to achieve. I was encouraging myself. It was more like a tribute to my future self.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was telling my future self, don't worry, your younger self is proud of you. Right now, it might not feel like it. You know, I was in a very time in my life where everything was uncertain, right? I just moved into an apartment with my friend Kim that I mentioned earlier. Yeah. And I was like, where am I ever going to get money to pay for this rent? Because hostel was no longer serving. Because hostel had rules that wouldn't let me, you know, do what I wanted to do in terms of, like, for example, I needed to have people call me over to my place to make videos, but the hostel was regulated. If you're not living there, you can't get in. I needed to be able to move out at night. Then I used to shoot in clubs and stuff, but the hostel had a specific time where you had to go and come in. So it was just obstructing so many things. So that was why we decided to move into an apartment. But I didn't even have the money to pay for, like, the next month. So I was just like, feeling every emotion I could feel then, and then I recorded that video. And anytime I go back and I watch that video, which I did recently, it kind of reminds me that, hey, you're actually in a better position right now than you even imagined. Yes, maybe. I thought I was going to be a millionaire by 25.
Really?
But I'm not, but I'm getting closer. And like, it's just all about worrying less. That's a big thing I would tell my younger self. Don't worry too much. Because sometimes even the worry itself is worse than the situation.
True, true. So did this situation ever drive you to want to give up? Did you ever reach any point where you were like, okay, maybe I should put this down and go do something else?
thinking of how to answer this question without, I mean, I feel like everything about my journey is unconventional. First, in a way, I'd be like, oh yeah, you have to choose school. Like I already told you, it was easy for me. Like, Mm-hmm. I wasn't having that struggle. But was there a time where I was like, I want to give up this dream? To be honest, yes and no. Yes, in terms of, hey, this is not working. Maybe I should really just back up my files and start looking for a job. I did it. I started looking for a job. But deep down inside of me, from the time of saying I wanted to have a video production that caters for creatives and make films, one other thing that I didn't mention earlier was like, for me, it's all about having a community of people who are like me, creating contents, achieving their creative dreams, singers, whatever, actors, directors. That was how I wanted to build their establishment. And so many times, even I can be walking past a big, I don't know, like they just got it like a hotel or something, and I just stand there. I did that so many times growing up. I look, I'm like, oh, imagine if my brand logo was just on the top of the building, and it was my building, big like that, and inside it are a lot of creatives who were just doing whatever, like a lot of people working, and I'm able to pay them, and they're able to feed their families and take care of themselves, do whatever they want to do, right? So at the moment, I'm like, I want to give up, take my file, and go look for that job. I never let go of the feeling that I want to create something.
Yeah.
So it's not like, well, I shouldn't create. No, it's so that's why I said it's a yes and no. So I like, maybe if I go get this job, maybe get paid over time, maybe save up, and then start up again. But there was always this constant battle in my mind, like, if you go down that route, you might not really get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I won't be happy. And at this point, I tell myself, I've gone too deep to actually let go in terms of foregoing so many things. I had quarrels with my family, people close to me, just because of what I wanted to do. And it just feels like that's what I have to do, like create an establishment for people. So no matter how I think about it, okay, I should do this, I should do that, I should do this, I should do it, all directs me to one part. So now I'm in the space of, instead of saying, I want to drop this, maybe I shouldn't do this, I'm like, okay, what can I do to support this?
Yeah.
Right? So I have taken, I've worked in a call center before. That's what I was in a call center. I don't know. But it has nothing to really...
That's a good question. What exactly were you doing in the call center?
It had nothing to do with the dream, but at that point, I didn't even have money to fund my vision. And I wasn't getting new clients. I was like in a dark hole, but I needed finances. And I'm like, okay, desperate days require desperate action. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'll go work for a call center, get some money, and put it back into my vision. I worked there for like 4 days and then I quit. I quit, like, literally. Yeah, well. After I was like a 3-day training before you start.
Oh, so you technically worked for 1 day.
I mean, I did. The training was also part of the job.
Nice one. Well, I guess you should hold the record for shortest time keeping a job.
So I did the training for 3 days, and then on the 4th day, I just what made me quit. Right, all the times I've been making videos or making films and stuff like that, never has there been a time I woke up and I said, shit, do I really want to do this? Never. I'm always excited, looking forward to it. Maybe nervous even. But on that day when I finished the training, and the first day of work, I woke up, I'm like, do I really want to go here? Like, I felt everything in my system fighting me, calling up a taxi to go to the office. And that was when I knew that I can't do this. I just quickly sent them an email. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. Thanks for the time. And that was it. And then I went to my bed and cried.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's why, for me, giving up has never been the option. And I'm not saying this in a motivational way. I don't care. People can, I mean, I also advocate for people. If your dream is not working, maybe you should find something else to do. I'm not going to lie.
I was going to ask that because sometimes it's not really essentially about the fact that the dream is not working per se. Maybe there's something that you're doing critically wrong, or maybe it's that, you know, you shouldn't be doing this.
Exactly. No, see, let's be honest. There are some people who say they want to be musicians, but hey, their voice is horrible. Well, yeah, well, now you can use auto-tune or whatever and just, you know, become famous, but it doesn't last. Right. And I mean, not to be the hater, but there are some people that would never make it in music industry because they're just not talented in music.
So how do you know when you should give up? I mean, let's say for someone who's, you know, he just doesn't have what it takes. You could get feedback from a lot of experts and they're like, nah, you're not going to make it. You don't have it in you. Then there are counter stories of people who are like, everyone told me I wasn't going to make it, but I made it. And so how do you balance those two things? It's like you have to really know that if you keep going this route, then there's a possibility that, you know, maybe nothing is going to come of it. But you've decided that the alternative is not an option. The question is, you know, is that the right choice?
Yeah, you know, it's just called back to what I said earlier. First of all, nobody can answer that question but you or whoever is in that situation. So currently I'm doing like a business course where we develop business ideas and stuff. Since mm-hmm. I said, I want to do a big creative industry, which is part of a bigger business and I'd be a billionaire. So I figured I have to learn some of the ropes, you know, and in that, on one of my classes, you know, we're talking about when you have a business idea, you go to execute, you do the market survey, you reiterate and see if it's working or not. And then one question is like, how do you know when your business idea is not working or when you should give up totally? Say, for example, Angry Bird. You know, they did so many games that was a flop. But then one time, it was like, I don't know, it was more than 50 games that they did. I can't remember the exact figure. They were already just about giving up. You're like, you know what? Let's try this last one. If it doesn't work out, that's it. And that was how Angry Bird came about. And it became the biggest, at that time, game in the market, in the Play Store. So the question is, nobody can tell you when to give it but you. But what I tell myself, like I said earlier, you don't really have to give up. Just find alternative means to get to the destination. Like for me, for someone who is not talented, let's just say, if you say, everybody say I cannot make it, I won't make it, but I made it. To be honest, if you check into those people's story, you figure that there was a point where they changed something.
Yeah.
Maybe your network, or maybe the people were actually criticizing your music and giving you constructive criticisms that you were now improving on. And for sure, if you do something over and over and over again, you kind of get better at it, you know? And also, they said insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. So if you're doing the same thing and nothing changes, that's how it's supposed to be. Nobody's hating on you. So when people give criticisms, or not even necessary from people, from yourself, the question is, what can I do different to support this? It doesn't necessarily, I'm not talking about even finances. I'm not talking about network. It can be just the habits. Okay, people say my voice sounds horrible. I rehearse once a week. Maybe I should do like 3 times. Maybe I should get a voice instructor. Like doing something different. So, you know, but like I said, some people would never make it because they're not talented and hardworking. Because, you know, hard work and talents, sometimes you might not be talented, but if you're hardworking, you'll get there. But some people feel like just because I want it, I will get it. That's not how life works. I want to have a big production studio. I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm not there yet, but I'm working towards it. And every week, every month, every year, there's a new challenge. And I ask myself, what can I do differently? And hey, I told you, I'd never really considered school when I wasn't doing the geology thing, right? But look at me, doing a business degree. Why? Because I know that my vision entails business, the creative business. So I'm like, okay, this is actually interesting. And it's really helped me. And I went from a vision of having a creative studio, and now I have like a creative company with people working. So I'm now tailoring not my contents, not just for entertainment purposes, but also for businesses. You see where the reiteration came in. So yeah. It's still the same, but we keep changing. And to be honest, I'm still going to get to the point where, you know, I make movies and stuff, but that is more going to be more of, there's nothing like a finish line, but for lack of a better words, I'll just say that's to be the finish line for me.
Well, let's say based on who you are now, that is sort of the finish line.
Yeah, well,
because that finish line might shift later on, who knows?
Yeah, it might shift. Like, to be honest, at some point, I think I've come to the point where I'm so convinced about my vision. Like, building a big production studio for creative purposes has always been there. It's not going nowhere.
Yeah, I see.
So the route might change. Before having this conversation, I thought it was going to be like, I make awesome videos, I call people together, actors, and then next thing I'm in Hollywood or Nollywood or whatever. But look at me, I went from making wedding videos to making Instagram content to making commercials to making music videos. And now I have a company that caters for brands and businesses and creating content for them. So I'm working like this. All in my mind that through the journey, I have a place I want to end up at. Yes, I'll have a bit. My agency, my creative company now is quite small. We're a small team. But like I told you, my dream has always been like, see those big buildings, have my logo on it, and 1,000 people achieving their creative, not working for me, I don't use that word, achieving their creative dreams, their creative visions, that it is for me. So it's still always going to be there.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit about what you do now.
Yeah.
How would you, I know you mentioned the team and what your team does, but you know, how would you describe yourself? Where you're at now?
Okay. I think for me to describe where I am at now, I should describe how I got to where I am now. Because my story, it's just like, sometimes I told you, like sometimes I don't understand how I'm living this story. So I left Russia with hopes of greener pastures. Coming to Germany. Because even in the creative industry, someone told me something. He said, one of my mentors too, I didn't mention, he's Russian. Well, he was in my life for like a short period of time, so, but I learned a lot from him. He said, if you want to go to space, you have to either build a rocket or go to where they send people to space. Then you have a higher chance. Which means, if I want to do something, I either have to build it from the scratch or go to a place where the materials are there and people are already doing such things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Of course, we all know that starting from the scratch is hella hard and it might not always work. And you might not always have the time for that, to be frank. And being in Russia at that point, I realized that my vision, Russia cannot afford to give it to me. So I think it's very important to understand what your vision is. Because if you really don't understand, it will be hard to get your swayed around and it will be easier for you to make some certain decisions that will progress it. But when you're not sure, that's when the problem comes. So every decision I made, I had in mind, one thing I had in mind, how will this advance the vision that I have? That's the base point. So then in Russia, I'm like, okay, I need to leave Russia. Russia cannot give me what it does not have. If I want to win an Oscar, it's not going to be in Russia for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, maybe I need to go to the States. But how can I go to the States? It was hard going to the States because at this point, Donald Trump was the president as at that point, and they had all this immigration stuff. And I'm like, okay, but I first need to leave Russia and go to a more open country where, you know, it's easier to interact with the Western world, if you know what I mean. And now I said, okay, yeah. And then Germany happened. And now being in Germany, the question was, how can I have my dream? No, scratch that. So being in Germany, the question was like, how can I achieve my dreams in this place? I'm not going to lie to you. At first, I thought, Jesus Christ. you know, sometimes I get so deep into my vision that I become so myopic. For example, I was in Russia. I thought I was going to be the biggest content creator in Russia, black person, if you know what I mean. Like, big production studio, everything. Fast forward, I'm like, hell no, I can't do this right here. I moved to Germany. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is looking better than where I'm coming from. So I guess I can actually do this here. But now, fast forward to this moment, I have a team. But then I still know that this is not necessarily where I want to build what I want to build. And why? How did I come about to the realization of that? It's more like, I guess, time. When I interacted with people, I met people, I asked questions, I read, I discovered rules and regulations, and I'm like, okay, this is not going to work here. But then I was able to set up a creative business, which I was really looking for money. That's how the idea came about. I was looking really, really, really looking for money. I had my school fees to pay. You know, these business degrees are expensive. I had my house rent to pay. I had a lot of things to do. And I'm like, God, help me. I used to say, this is 2022. If you calculate the amount of times I've cried this year, it's more than the times I've cried my entire life, even as a child, even as a baby. So I'm like, God, did you just bring me here to, like, disgrace me? Like, what is the plan? But then I prayed. I kept praying. Honestly, I'm like, God, I know that this vision is not just for me. It's not for me. Because if it was just my vision, I think I would have felt it a long time ago. And things don't work. And it's still, like, I can't say it enough. Know your vision. In terms of not what is it? Is it the right thing? Quantified, qualified, and get it approved. And what do I mean by get it approved? If you're Christian, and get it approved by God.
Yeah, I see.
And I don't know, however that's going to happen for you. Because sometimes we have dreams and then we want God to stamp it. It doesn't work that way.
Mm.
So I this thing came about, like I said, I never wanted it. It happened. I just fell in love with it. That shows that, okay. You know, when they say, what's the word? When you meet something that is for you, you just feel it. If you meet an opportunity that is from God, you just feel it. Right? So for me, it just happened. And I am confident that this is, it might not be the full stop of my mission on earth, but it has a lot to play in the role of why I'm in this earth.
Got it.
You understand? So I'm like, God, what is happening? Like, this vision, I don't even know how it's going to happen. And then one time, it's just, I was really, really in doubt. And my girlfriend said, David, I'm like, what's up? And she's like, you can't be beating yourself down. You have to actually do something. Like, I was depressed to the point that I couldn't even do anything. I don't know if anybody can relate. When you get so depressed that you can't do anything, you don't want to do nothing. Because everything you've done is just not working. It hasn't worked. So you're like, what's the point? You know, and I feel like that's the stage where the devil wants to get most people at, to cripple them out of their vision, you know? And it's good to have amazing people in your life who will kind of like drag you out of those moments and help you see from a different perspective.
Uh-huh.
And then she's like, no, if you believe that God gave you this vision, then do the little effort you can do. Because even I started applying to jobs in Germany. I've applied to more than 300 jobs, no response. I started to doubt my skill. I started to doubt what I know. I started to doubt myself. Like, why isn't... I mean, people were responding, but nothing worked through. Nothing came true. At least on the minimum, I was applying to 5 jobs every day from December 13th to like January 40th to like January 30th. And that was when I gave up. I can't do this. First of all, I'm applying for jobs, not because I want to, but situation. And now they're even rejecting me. Like, is something wrong with me? And I actually believe that something was wrong with me. And I believe that something was wrong with my talent. And maybe I'm not as talented as I thought I was. Or maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. But I kept praying it. And then one day she's like, No, not actually. One day an idea came to me. I'm like, what if what is Germany known for? Cars, right? What if I should send a message to all car dealership within my area? I'm like, hey, I make videos. Can I come do a sample video? Maybe you might want me on your team or something like that. You know. I composed that email, but I couldn't send it. Why? Because I was so freaking scared of rejection. I'm like, if I send this email and they say no, this is another action that I've tried that didn't work, and this is going to, I'm already depressed. Now, doing the least, like, with the little push I got, I'm like, let me do something, and now they're not rejected again. That's
well,
it.
Well, yeah, the funny thing about the fear of rejection is, you know, when you don't do something, you're still not going to get a result, but at least you can hold on to the...
There's a chance.
The wishful thought that, you know, I think I have it in me. Maybe if I had sent out that email, I would have gotten accepted. But the moment you send out the email, it becomes apparently clear, very clear that, okay, no, we don't want this or we don't need this. And then, you know, it hits really hard. Yep.
Exactly.
But the thing is, go ahead.
And that was where I literally composed that message and it was in my notes for like a week. And now, look at me. I was like, okay, you know what? I sent it to my girlfriend. I'm like, could you please send this to people? So that when the rejection comes,
it won't come to me.
You won't understand. Like, I was depressed at that point, and rejection was the last thing I needed at that point.
Uh-huh.
And like, another dose, because I've gotten doses of it. Yes, at some point, I actually got being rejected to, when I was applying, sending out applications and stuff, because, hey, it's me wanting to be a part of your team. You rejected me. No worries. Now, this little one I'm doing is me actually giving you all that I have with my skill that I've learned, my vision. Like, hey, I want to bring it to your team, a part of me. Not, you know, so if you reject this, that's it. And she refused to do it. She said, I should. I'm like, I should send them an email, right? And I'll send them an email. 1 week later, they didn't respond. I'm like, well, I guess this is it. No answer is also an answer. You know, it's that. But she's like, yo, what happens if you actually drive down there and meet them face to face? I'm like, huh?
That's
so
good.
They can reject
me
face to face? Like, are you okay? To be honest, I'm not gonna lie, this caused a serious problem, because I'm like, no way I'm doing that. She's like, what you mean? I sent them an email. If they wanted me, they would have at least responded. But she's like, no, you actually have to drive down. Let it be that they saw you and they said no. I'm like, okay, if that's gonna make you happy, and I'm gonna do it, not because I wanted to get a contract, not because I wanted to get a job, but to prove a point. That was how depression can get it. So I got in the car. I was driving. In my mind, I was driving to go and let him tell me no, so that I would come back and be like, I told you, I never want to go. I don't want to go anywhere. I just let him sit in his house and stuff. I can feel the emotions in my heart. Like, I was so mad. I just drove down there. And guess what? I walked into the first dealership. And the guy said, oh, I'm sorry. It's a very big dealership. And they have a different parts of the world. Like, so our contacts have been produced by people outside this country, and I'm not the owner, I'm just a salesperson, so you can only talk to the owners, which of course are in the country. And then I walked to the next one, a big dealership all around Europe. They have two founders. They're not based in Germany. I mean, one is based in Germany, the other is based in Italy. But for some reason, on that particular day, the two of them were in the office.
Oh, wow.
And then I just walked in. I met one of the salespersons. I'm like, hey, I'm a content creator. I do this. I would love to create. I wanted to create something free. I want to create something for free. He's like, oh, damn. You came at the perfect time. The founders are in the other room. Okay. I'm like. And then I went and they saw me. I'm like, hey, I'm David. I do this. I showed them a video of what I did. They're like, wow, this is what we've been talking about. We've actually been looking for someone like you. Like, what are the odds? Like, hey, he just came from Italy and we've been discussing it. Actually, we even met someone a few days ago, or we got introduced to someone who creates videos for BMW and stuff, and we're already in talks with him. But so we actually want this kind of thing. So what do you have to offer? And I told them. And they're like, you know what? We're going to go with you. forget about the other guy. We like you. We like your energy. You seem like a very positive person and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to go with you. And this is something that they wouldn't have felt if they read an email.
Of course.
You know? And they're like, yeah. So I went there to do one free video. So they're like, so this video that you say you wanted to show us how, what you can do, how, you know, how much is it going to cost? In my mind, it was free. Because I just wanted to do something free. At least add it to my portfolio in the very worst cases.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it depends. You have to pay a lot. It depends. I mentioned the price. And to me, that price was like ridiculous. And they're like, okay. Actually, we want to make about 10 videos. I'm like, huh? Say what? You mean like 10 small videos? Like, no, like 10. We have different dealerships in different parts of the world, so we're gonna have to travel around and make those videos, about 10 of them. So we're gonna have to drop a contract, put a huge sum of it, sum on it, exclusive, and you have a contract. I'm like, hell yeah, I mean, sign me up. And then fast forward to now, I'm in a very good relationship with those people. I've delivered the videos and they've even introduced, it's more like I'm part of the family now. Right, I've traveled to Italy to make food. I've traveled to different places that they have there, France and all this kind of stuff. And we're still looking to go to Japan and other places, hopefully, fingers crossed. Just because I stood up and I walked into their dealership. That's now, great. Let me tell you an interesting story. Currently, I'm in talks. You remember the first dealership where I walked in and they're like, no, you know, yeah, all stuff. He, the one of the founders of the current one I'm working with, he's a very good friend to the owner of that dealership. And he introduced me to the guy. And the guy's like, yeah, sure, the guy's new. He's like, okay, send us a proposal. And now we are currently in talks. So it's like, okay. And when I got that first contract, I couldn't do it alone. I had to put together a team. And that was how the whole team came about. And then we started doing it. And I'm like, okay, I actually enjoy creating stuff for business, but I'm not adding value, bringing my money. And I love the community. I meet successful business people and, you know, I learn a lot from them. Well, how about business dinners and all this kind of stuff? And then I started reaching out to other businesses. And here we are. Yesterday, before the shoot, I had a major fundraising collaboration with one of the organizations of the U.S. military. My business, and when I mean I mean my business. So I went there with my team and we did what we know how to do best, and it was great. And the point is, if I hadn't gone there by myself, and guess what, they didn't even see the email.
Yeah, which happens in most cases. Yeah.
You know, they didn't even see the email. So if I hadn't gone there. And I also felt that God did that for a purpose. He strategically puts the two of them there at the same, because it would have been different if one person is like, yeah, the other person is not around, so, you know, we have to have this. But the two of them were there talking about me before I even showed up. And in building this dream, you know, there's just a way to say you have to say yes so many times, even when you're not to figure it out, and then you go out, figure it out, and come back. Ready to say, you know, my girlfriend be like, one day, I don't know the kind of yeses you say these days. So when I went to that dealership, they're like, hey, do you have a drone? Do you have a this? I didn't have nothing. So I'm like, yes, I can't, I have it. I mean, just to create this video, of course I do. I just knew that whenever I said yes, because it's not the first time for me, I never shy out of opportunities and challenges. I knew that somehow I need to find a drone. If these people can pay me the money, of course. Even if it means borrowing money from somewhere, buying a drone, using it for that project, get paid, refund the money, of course I'll get interest on top from the money they're going to pay me. But I didn't want to be found lacking in anything that I needed to impress them. So when they say, do you have a drone? We need a drone shot. I'm like, yeah. So do you have a team who does copy? I'm like, yeah, I have a team. I said, yes. And I had 1 week to make all these things happen. Oh, interested. Do you have a company? Because, you know, we don't work with individuals. We have to work with companies because you can write a new voice and blah, blah, blah. So do you have a company? I said, yes. And the member had a company then.
So did you register the company afterwards? You formed the team and all. Yep. Wow.
You know. I mean, you know me. You know, I get crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
And I had 1 week to do all that. But I had to actually link up with a friend who had a drone, because drone was one of the major equipment. For some reason, they really love drone shots. I didn't have a drone then, so I linked up one of my friends. He had a drone. We did the drone shots and everything. And when I showed them the first sample video, they were impressed, signed down the contract, got a huge chunk of money. And just from that one contract, right, before I left Russia, I sold all my camera gears, all my creative things. But from that contract with the deposit money, I was able to buy times three even better equipment that I was ever used in my life. And there's this thing in Germany where, you know, if you surpass a certain threshold, you're no longer considered a small business. I surpassed that threshold just with one client.
Oh, wow. It's great.
And so it's that is where I'm at right now. So I have to understand that sometimes the devil, I'm talking as a Christian right now, right? Because I used to tell myself, or I tell people also, that you can never get wealth is spiritual. Operating in the top 1% is spiritual. You need to have some form of backing. And for me, that backing is being Christian, and that's Jesus Christ, right? So I don't want to go to a final, I don't want to get to my final destination without God. So anything that will take God away from me, I don't want it. Because I don't even see myself getting there without him, because I need his help to get there. So when I was depressed, I was praying. But to be honest, at some point I stopped praying because I didn't even know what else to pray for. Because my prayers were the same over and over. So of course I got tired of hearing myself complaining with the same thing. You know? But at that moment, for me, as a Christian, I say it's God that puts those two people there and talking about me before I should. But some people, they might call it, you know, luck. So luck and grace is the same thing, just different terminologies. You know, so I could just say I was just lucky to be there. And not just that, I was lucky to have someone who was like, "Yo, go, you just have to drive there." And that also drives into another point where I want to let people know that sometimes, I also mentioned, you know, I mentioned about Daniel thing. Sometimes people don't really push you. How do I say this? Sometimes people push you in a way that your body doesn't welcome. But it's for your own good.
Yeah.
Adapting doesn't necessarily mean external factors that you're trying to face. No, it can be an external factor that's trying to push you. I had a lot of quarrels with Daniel, one of my mentors. But to be honest, those moments pushed me. My girlfriend, we had a quarrel just because I didn't want to go receive another rejection. But guess what? It was what set up the whole tone of everything happening here. So God sometimes uses people, but then you have to understand that these people have their own way of delivering messages. Some people deliver messages nicely. So nice that you would even feel like living with them for the rest of your life. But some people are just so straight to the point, hey, this is it. You get it done.
Well, I think sometimes you really do need...
You need both. But the fact means that sometimes you need that harsh push. The soft one doesn't work. Like, for example, my girlfriend, she's really soft and everything. But that, like, sometimes she comes hard. You need that hard push. And I'm like, I'm appreciative, because if you have someone who's always soft, to be honest, you won't really get much done.
Yeah.
And if you have someone who's always hard, to be honest, you'll be so hard on yourself.
Yeah, you won't see when you are actually doing great, because you exactly. won't get that yeah. feedback from them.
Exactly. So you need to have a mixture of both. But sometimes people feel like people who come at them hard, they don't like them, or they don't mean well for them or something. It's not. It all comes, like I said, humility, and I'm humble. I was humble. Well, I just say it was my nature. not humility, but just having to adapt to people around me, right? I was humble. I don't like saying I'm humble because I'm not really that humble compared to people I've met in this life. Yo, I've seen people and I'm like, okay, this is next level humility, right? And so I'll just say I adapt to people.
Right.
So that's where I'm at now, and that's what led up to where I am now. Now, where I'm at, it's forming a new vision for itself. At the beginning stage, I never thought I was going to have a company that will cater for businesses and do the content production. Nope. But look at where this is it. Imagine if I say, no, it just has to be the creative thing, you know, making movies and stuff. Well, maybe I'll still be there struggling. Who knows? Or maybe not, I can say. But the journey dictates the routes. So I know the destination. I'm following through the routes. It might be rough, it might be smooth. I don't really know. I've never walked it before. But if the route is rough, that's where you have mentors to help you navigate it. You know?
Right.
And sometimes you might be so prepared for something that when you get there, you realize that all the things you came with, all the preparatory things you came with is not going to help. So you just have to do what? Jump in. My girlfriend keeps saying that she's never met someone who is as impulsive as I am. Impulsive in terms of, let's do it. I don't think certain things true. Like, I guess it's a woman thing where females try to assess the whole situation, you know, okay, how is this going to play out in the long run? Is it safe? Is it not? Me, I would jump in. I'll figure it out when I'm there.
Yeah, well, I mean, the advantage of that is that you definitely get more things done. The disadvantage is that you can crash pretty easily, but usually it plays out better in the long run.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's also depends on the personality, right? If I think a lot, I told you, I stress a lot, I think a lot. So if I sit down to start analyzing,
yeah,
I back out.
Probably never make a move.
Exactly. So for me, it's just like, let's do it. And the funny part is that somehow I still navigate. It might not be smoothly. It might not be the best of comfort you can get, but it comes and it goes. Like I learned some one popular phrase from my mom. She made it popular in terms of what I'm going to explain. It said, you know, somewhere in the Bible, it shall come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For most people, it shall come to pass entails whatever has been prophesied will happen. Right? That's what most people see it as. But my mom gave it a different meaning. Meaning it shall come and it shall pass. So, situation, whatever challenge, it will come and it will pass. Prophecy, it will come and it will pass. But most times I've heard when they say it shall come to pass, it's just more like, yeah, it's going to happen. But they forget about the passage. So it will pass. It will definitely pass. So whatever situation I find myself in chasing my dream, it will come and it will pass. My depression came and it passed. And the truth of the matter is that now I'm facing even bigger challenges.
Yeah, guess that's what? How life works.
Yeah, before I was like, damn, how am I going to get like, what, 10 euros to pay, even to buy water? And now I had a contract. I'm like, okay, next year, I have to make times 2 of what I made. If not, I don't see myself as successful. That is one. And two, I have to make sure that I keep having clients. It's not just about having company or having a team. Now you have to actually pay these people. Now you actually have to generate income. How does that happen? Well, something has to happen. So now I'm on to the next phase of figuring out how to make things happen on a consistent basis for myself and for a team.
Right.
So, like you said, the finish line might change. Well, no, it won't change. It'll more like stretch. So, yeah.
I think we've reached a good point to wrap things up. But before then, maybe there's something you would like to tell those listening about, you know, what it's like having a dream, chasing that dream, and navigating the different things in between.
I guess the phrase that I said, it shall come to pass.
Got it.
That's that. I mean, I've caught myself of recent saying it a lot. For some reason, like, I haven't heard my mom say it in a long while, but it just keeps coming up in my head. It shall come to pass. If you're chasing a dream, if you're working, you're going to face challenges for sure. It's life. Nobody hates you. Right. But the challenges will come and it will go. The same way the good things will come and it will go. Nothing lasts forever. So while you're enjoying the good things, prepare for the bad things. While the bad things are happening, prepare for the good thing. Don't be in a stuck mentality. It might feel like that, but don't be like that.
Okay.
You know, everything will come about. It will come, that moment of chasing your dream, where I am, I'm still not where I want to be. I'm still in process, but the process period will also come and pass, and I will be in a place that I've always dreamt about. And that one will also come and pass. So worry less, be humble, do what has to be done, and it will come.
All right.
And I think one also last thing that just popped into my head right now is understanding that nobody owes you nothing. I mean, I think I believe this a lot to the point it's not becoming toxic to me. If I ask someone for something, or if I try to go for something, they like say no, I just like, you know, that's it. I'm not going back anymore. Like, nobody owes me anything. I have to make it happen. Nobody does. Not your mom, not your dad, not your boss, not your employee, not your friend, your wife, if you're married, your girlfriend, your fiance, whatever. Nobody owes you nothing. The highest they can give is sympathy. If I come like, hey, Praise, I'm in this. Even if you're a millionaire and I'm like, please, can I get $100? And you don't give me, it's nothing personal. I'll feel sad because friends are supposed to help each other, because if it was me, I would do the same. But at the same time, I think I'm at a space where I understand that nobody really owes you nothing. Especially when it comes to dealing with your dream. Oh, I'm going to prove to, like I told you, I've applied to so many places, got rejected. When you come to understand that nobody owes you nothing, you begin to think different. A lot of people in our generation currently feel entitled. And I hate that. I really do. So because I'm successful, I'm supposed to do something for you. No. I can only help out of my own free will or because I feel it's right. But I'm not going to live my life expecting someone to do something for me to help me get to where I want to get to. People don't really understand that. So it's just the honest. It's hard. It's hard to believe or it's hard to accept. But nobody owes you anything. And it's helped. Like, maybe it's just me being hard on myself because I've got to some age that it's like, you know what? I'll figure out a way to make it happen. If someone says no, I'll go ask the next person. Until someone says yes. And then fine, we move. But I'm not going to hate on you because you said no. It's not impersonal. You don't owe me nothing. You're also dealing with your own life, you know. I also have to deal with mine. Of course, families and friends, we kind of have expectations. But at the end of the day, nobody owes you anything. Go out there and work for it.
Thanks a lot. I think this has been a really good session. I've gotten a lot out of it personally. I think this is probably the session where I've just listened the most. And I hope that to those listening, you've gotten something for yourself as well, because I know that everyone has a dream that you're chasing or that you want to chase. Maybe you don't even have the courage to start or the courage to get out of where you are at right now and put energy towards what you want to achieve. But I hope that after this, you can apply one thing or two to get further in your dream. So till the next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and thank you for listening.
David, can I sign off?
Well, yeah, you can sign off now.
Hello guys, how are you doing? Thank you for listening to my story, and I hope I inspired, even if it's just one person. Funny enough, my Twitter, you know my Twitter bio? On my bio, I updated like, 2016. I said, I'm on a mission to inspire 1.5 billion people on Earth. It's been there. I've never changed it. Well, even if it's one person that will get through with this podcast, well, I guess that'll be 1.19 Romanian. All right, but you know, I really hope that this podcast episode was really, really valuable and beneficial. And this is the first time I'm sharing my story. And as I say, my story is still being built, it's still being written. It's not a final destination yet. And I also hope to share more over time as God does more amazing things for me.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye. Ciao. Peace.